Today we celebrate the ascension of Jesus Christ, the day that Christ returned up into heaven. It took place 40 days after the resurrection, so actually Ascension Day was Thursday this past week, but we celebrate it today. This passage records the last version at least, of the Great Commission. Each gospel has one. Jesus commissioned his disciples again and again after the resurrection. And Luke has two, one in his gospel, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, and here now. In both of Luke's recorded Great Commission statements, Jesus tells the gathered disciples that they are witnesses, that they are to witness beginning in Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth. The message was to spread locally to globally, and the same is true for us today. We are to be witnesses in our town, and then our region, and then from there. Samaria represents area that is geographically close, but culturally different. And in our small area in which we live, we have people who are close to us, but who are culturally different from us. It's when we're willing to cross those cultural boundaries that we realize the humanity and dignity of those who are different from us. We heard the news this week, another horrible shooting, and we think, what can we do? And I was listening to Breakpoint this week, this morning, and, you know, we get overwhelmed and we look at big things and we think, can we do big things? But sometimes what we're called to do is focus on our little piece of corner, our little sphere of influence. What can we do where we are right now? And if everybody would take care of their little piece, then a lot can be done. Sometimes we're called to take the bigger pieces, but we start with where we are. I watched, many of you may have seen it already, but I watched the movie Flint this week about the water crisis in Flint, Michigan. And that became national news and changed because of a small group of concerned parents who were concerned about their children's health, and they would not take no for an answer. When we focus on the people around us and the things around us, we can make a difference. We have people who are different from us in our community. On Friday, I met with Heather Briner, who is the director of The Gathering Place with Shake the Ground Ministries. And I asked her if she would share with me a couple of stories. She, even though this ministry is brand new and the official launch isn't until next Friday, she's been working with this population for over 2 years, just going to their camps or talking to them while the panhandling people or meeting them wherever, taking the blessing bags. So she knows these people pretty well. And she shared about one of the senior citizens that she knows. Happens to be one of the panhandlers that you may have seen at Walmart. But he and his wife live in the Sherwood, across the street. His wife is permanently disabled and wheelchair bound. So his time not panhandling is taking care of her. Sometimes all it takes for a person to go from financial disability to instability is a medical emergency or a medical condition. We have people who are different from us in this community. Sometimes it's culturally different, sometimes it's racially different. We have a large Hispanic population here. There is refugee resettlement happening here. The world is coming to us. So we don't have to go to the ends of the earth to reach the world for Christ. We can do it right here in Havelock, North Carolina. Sometimes we are called to go to the ends of the earth. And when we can't go, then we can help support those who do. In our Acts passage today, Luke records Jesus saying, "You will be my witnesses As opposed to in his gospel account where Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." There, Jesus is talking about, he had talked about all the scriptures that reveal him, and you're witnesses. This is the message that I want you to take to the world. But here he says, you're my witnesses. He's emphasizing the fact that Jesus' disciples belong to Jesus, that we belong to Jesus. It's his message that we carry. It's his very person that we carry. So what is the message that we are to bear? Well, the gospel in 5 seconds is something like this. God loves us. We blew it. Christ fixed it. You must receive him. Now, that takes a little explanation. You think God loves us, it's pretty self-explanatory, but believe it or not, there are plenty of people around us who cannot comprehend God's great love for them. They don't know it. They really do need to hear how loving God is. People who've been dehumanized, abused, betrayed, treated unjustly, especially by those who claim to be Christians, need to witness and experience the love of God. They need to hear it, to feel it, to experience it. And we are called to love people. I share in my newsletter article this month that one of the speakers at Wilberforce reminded us that the greatest weapon that we have been given in our arsenal as believers is love. It is so countercultural to the world around us. It is powerful. The second point is we blew it. We messed up our relationship with God by choosing to be selfish, by wanting to be in control, and by going against God's laws. We're all sinners. Sometimes people will recognize this right away. Other times, it's in realizing who God is that they realize how far they are from God's mark. Third point, Christ fixed it. In Luke's gospel account of the pre-ascension Great Commission speech, Jesus explains all those scriptures concerning himself to the disciples, specifically pointing to the passages that deal with the suffering of the Christ, his death, and his resurrection. This is the heart of the gospel, that Jesus suffered for us, died for us, and rose again for us. Who Jesus is and what he did on our behalf, that he died in our place, taking the punishment on himself for our sin, and rising again, he conquered death that we might have a restored relationship to God and eternal life. Jesus is the only one who could have done this because only Jesus is God. And God himself, because God loves us so much, took our place. And then part four of the 5-second gospel, we must receive him. Again, in Luke's gospel account, Jesus goes on to say, repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all the nations. The way that we can experience our sins being forgiven is through Jesus. We have to repent. That is, we must change direction, leaving sin behind, in order to receive the benefits of the forgiveness that Jesus offers. In our Acts reading, Jesus gives the disciples the commission to be witnesses after the disciples have asked a question. They want to know if now is a time that Jesus is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Jesus frankly tells them it's none of their business, that it's the Father's plan and the Father's own authority of when that's going to happen. But he doesn't say it's not going to happen. Instead, he says that they are going to be his witnesses because Jesus isn't just about restoring Israel, although that is part of God's plan, but Jesus is about restoring all things to himself. The message is far bigger than Israel. It encompasses the whole world. It's a global message of hope and restoration. And praise God that the disciples were obedient, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. If the message hadn't spread, we wouldn't be here. We are recipients of that good news, of someone sharing the gospel, who shared it with someone else, who shared it with someone else, who shared it with us. We too can be restored through Jesus Christ, and full restoration awaits us. And we are called to pass the message along. Because we're witnesses who belong to Jesus, he doesn't leave us on our own. We don't have to do this in our own power. He tells the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We officially celebrate the reception of that power next week when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church, as it's often called. But we have the Holy Spirit. We are possessed, owned by God. And what's so great about being owned by God is God doesn't take away from who we are, but God works through who we are, through our personalities and our gifts, those which God created and called good when God made us. We have messed up the gifts, we are marred, but the Holy Spirit restores us and helps us to be our very best selves, the way that God intended us to be in the first place. It is part of that restoration that is proclaimed in the gospel message. Prayer helps us to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer gives us peace and assurance that we can boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice at the very end, after the angels came, it says the disciples were continually devoting themselves to prayer. They were unified. That's what they did. They went into an upper room and they prayed. I'm sure their praying together was very much a unifying factor. Our book of order in the PCUSA says prayer is the heart of worship. God works well in advance, preparing us to share, preparing the soil in a person's heart to receive the gospel message so that it might take root and a transformed life will result. Effective witnesses must spend time in prayer. We must communicate with the one who's chosen us to be witnesses. One of my favorite verses is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your highest act of worship. This verse is in the continuous tense, that we continually offer ourselves up to God as those living sacrifices. It reminds us that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus is our Lord, that we are God's chosen instruments, and it allows us to express our willingness to be used by God as we offer ourselves. Friends, the gospel is simple. God loves us. We blew it. Christ paid for us. Christ restores us. Christ fixed it. We must receive him. It's simple, but it's incredibly profound and powerful. Jesus Christ is in the life-saving, life-transforming business. And there are plenty of people in our community that still need to hear. Hans Rookmaker said, "Jesus didn't come to make us Christian. Jesus came to make us fully human." When we share the gospel, we offer people their humanity and dignity back, all that God intended us to be from the beginning, because God created us good, very good. When we share the gospel, we offer fullness of life, abundant life, and eternal life in Jesus Christ. That commission that Jesus gave wasn't just to 12 men at that time. It's for us today, too. We are called and commissioned by Christ to be witnesses. May we live into that calling and commissioning given to us by Jesus. May we be faithful to pass the baton, to share the good news with the next person some of the people we share with, we're just going to be a little tiny step in their journey of faith. Some of them will have the privilege of seeing come to know Jesus. Some of them are going to reject the message. But we're called to be witnesses. We're called to obedience. Obedience is the measure of success in the life of a believer. It's not about all the things that we do. It's about being faithful and being obedient. So let us be faithful witnesses for Jesus. Let us see who is in our little sphere, who's in our little community, our little space. And may we be bold to reach across those boundary lines of those who are different from us and give them the dignity of and true humanity that Jesus offers. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to restore us to be fully human, and we thank you that when you ascended into heaven, you ascended with the fullness of your humanity intact to show us what redeemed humanity looks like. Lord, we have heard the challenge to be witnesses in our world, to share the good news of what you have done with a world that needs to hear it. We thank you that your plan for this world was bigger than a piece of land in the Middle East, that it wasn't just about Israel, but about all creation. We thank you for the commission that you gave to bring the world the good news of what you've done for all your creation and for all people. We thank you that your salvation is big. We thank you that the gospel is powerful, and we thank you that you're in the life-saving and life-transforming business. Lord, we are called to be part of that. We can reach out and share the love of God with our neighbors. Help us to be in tune with the way the Holy Spirit is leading, how the Holy Spirit is already working in lives around us and in our life. Help us to be obedient to the prompting, to know what to say. You told us that we don't have to worry about it, that if we're faithful, the Holy Spirit will give us the right thing to say. We thank you that it's not our responsibility to worry about their response, that that's between them and you. But help us to be faithful, to do our part, to share the gospel. We might not be able to do anything about Texas, but we can do something about Havelock, North Carolina. So help us to be faithful where we are. And perhaps you are calling us to do something bigger. So help us to be open to how you might be calling us to reach other parts of our country and our world through our gifts, our prayers, our very bodies. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is number 150, Come Christians Join to Sing.